We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life. Amen. I'll tell you, today, in history, over 2,000 odd years ago, was a day where the earth shook. It was a day where the heavens wept. It was a day where prophecy was fulfilled. Today was a meticulously plotted out rescue mission. Are you hearing me? The only means to an end that God himself could find. Do you realize if Jesus didn't have to die, he wouldn't have died? Do you realize if the heaven did not have to send their only son, if God did not have to bankrupt heaven, he would not have done it. It wasn't just poetic. It was the only means to an end. And he was willing to do it. The only means to an end that God could find. How many, I'm telling you, how many are thankful that Jesus said yes? He didn't have to. He had the ability to say no. He could have decided not to, but he said yes. Amen? Amen. He bore the weight of our sin. He paid the inevitable price for our sin and for our transgression. Amen? It was foretold. Say foretold. It was prophesied over 700 years prior to Good Friday, the day of crucifixion. There was an amazing man of God, a prophet named Isaiah, who vividly prophesied that Jesus would come and that he would suffer and that he would die for our sins. You want to talk about an amazing, inerrant word of God? You want to talk about a scripture that is blessed and that literally is God's word? Imagine this. He didn't know his name would be Jesus. But God, if you read through Isaiah, and actually it's interesting, if you read the book of Isaiah, it's kind of like a mini Bible. The beginning of the book talks about our transgression and our sin and how inevitably God couldn't go without punishing sin. But if you look at the last half, it talks about grace and the fact that there would be a Savior that would come. And literally the last 27 chapters of Isaiah are like the last 27 books of the Bible called the New Testament. It's really amazing. But Isaiah, he is one of the most known prophets of the Old Testament. He would be similar to that as far as his stature and his writing. It would be like that of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. But I'll tell you this. I want you to understand when we read this, this happened 700 plus years before it ever happened. Are you following me? Will you please pick it up with me in Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our message? So you have to understand, he's writing in the term of God literally speaking to him. So when he's talking about he's talking about God or Jesus, okay? Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He, talking about Jesus, grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen? By his wounds, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Yeah? Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is oppressed and afflicted. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of this generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Amen. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and look at this, and made intercession for the transgressors. It's Jesus. Can we give him a praise? Can we give him a hand? Can we thank him for what he's done for us? He made intercession for the transgressors. When I think about Good Friday, and I think not only did he decide to come, and not only did he decide to heal, and not only did he decide to show us love, and not only that, he decided to just give it all. He decided to lay it all for those that do not deserve it. There's so many life lessons that we can learn from Jesus' life and his death, and in the way which he decided to die. I'm going to read. I've got a whole bunch of scriptures here, and I'm going to give them to you to mark down. But listen to this. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25 says, "To you, or to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Continuing, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." See, everything we have is because of Jesus. Everything we have is because of Jesus. You think about it, the mercies that are new every day is because Jesus chose the cross. Amen? It's because Jesus went to the cross that we have mercies that are new every day. The forgiveness we know is because Jesus went to the cross. Why are we forgiven? Because he died and his sinless blood covers that which is sin in our lives. Amen? It's because he went to the cross we enjoy forgiveness. And the ability for relationship directly with God is because Jesus went to the cross. Amen? How many are thankful you don't have to go to another person to be saved? You don't have to go to another person to be forgiven? You don't have to go to another person? Jesus is the person that is the God who made a bridge for you to go directly to God. You have relationship with God if you choose to. Through Jesus. Amen? It's exclusively Jesus because he's the only one that ever died on the cross for your sins, whom had sinless blood. Amen? So it's because of Jesus. But you need to get this. The things that we enjoy is because of today. Because of Good Friday. What Jesus chose to do today echoed in eternity. It literally shook the foundations of the earth. An earthquake came upon, and what happened in the temple? The veil was torn. What was the veil? The veil was the curtain between the presence of God and the people. And the only one that could enter the veil, only one time a year, was the high priest who was going in on behalf of the people. And when Jesus finally died and God no longer saw the sins of the people that loved him, he saw them who have accepted Jesus. And he said, that's fine. You have access to me now. Amen. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the cross. It's because of the cross. Everything we have is because Jesus went to the cross. And because of the cross, I now know these things. So what does the cross teach us? I want to give you a few points on that. Is that okay? Are you ready? Have I preached enough? You ready for this? Because I could give you not anymore, but you want more. Okay, just making sure. So what does the cross teach us? Number one, it teaches us that love is stronger than fear. That love is stronger than fear. Do you understand love will always win out? Love will always win out. And I think about it. I have the privilege of going to Ukraine and to Israel in the next 2 weeks and being able to help train up worship leaders and creative pastors and just make a deposit. How many think it's amazing that God has opened the door to that? You know, listen to me. My heart is to send teams out of this church to go and touch the world. That's my heart. But right now, God's opening doors for me to go. And I'll be honest with you, Ukraine and Israel aren't the most stable places, and I don't really want to send a team there. Okay, God, I said send me. So, okay. He will protect me and you will be covering me in prayer. Amen. But listen to me. When I go to Israel, I cannot wait to go to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was praying. And he said to Peter, could you not stay awake for 1 hour? Could you not stay with me? What is he doing? He's going and praying because he knows the cross is near. He knows the cross is near. And how many know that just because Jesus was perfect does not mean he did not feel the things we feel? In fact, he did feel the things we feel. He was tempted the way we were tempted, but he overcame them. Amen? Oh, I think he deserves more of a clap than that. It's because, listen, it's because he understands us that he was willing to die for us. He so loved us. He understood what we were going through. And I promise you, fear was creeping in when the cross drew near. Fear was creeping in. And we know that. Look what the scripture says in Luke 22:42. It says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. If you're willing, God, take this cup from me. This uncertainty. Look, I'm certain in you, God. But this thing, it's stirring my emotions. And I promise you, there was fear when it came to the cross. Why? Because there would be very real pain. He knew he was going to be separated from God. He could not die for our sins and still be connected to God. God was going to have to forsake him for a time so that he could get him back so that we could have all time with him. Amen? Oh, man. But love won out. Love is stronger than fear. Love for the Father was stronger than fear. He said, not my will, but yours be done. And love for his followers was stronger than fear because he understood why he needed to die. Do you understand why you need to live for him? He understood why he needed to die, but so many Christians that know of Jesus, they don't truly know why they need to live. If it was just about you going to heaven, you might as well just die now. But there's purpose when there's air in your lungs, when there's breath in your lungs, there's purpose for your life. And so you got to know just as much why you need to still live as he knew why he needed to die for us. Preaching better than you're listening, I think. Love, it's stronger than fear. When I think of the cross, what does the cross also taught me? What have I learned? What have I caught from the cross? Amen. Number two, commitment is more valuable than comfort. Commitment is more valuable than comfort. I thank you, Jesus. You didn't go based off of your feelings that day. I thank you that you went and you got on your knees and you submitted those emotions and you submitted those desires and you submitted those feelings back to God so that you would have the ability to stay committed even when it wasn't comfortable. I'm praying, God, help me to continue to submit the things in my life that I do not feel good about or that I worry about. Help me to continue to submit those to you so that I can stay committed even when it's not comfortable. Even when it's not comfortable. The cross was not comfortable. And for the sake of children, I'm not going to delve into what the cross is. But if you're old enough, maybe you should watch The Passion this weekend. Maybe they depicted it well enough. But it's still enough to churn your stomach. It's still enough to say, wow, a sinless man who didn't deserve this chose to do this for me. Don't put it on others. Put it on you. Because he did it for you. And what is your response to such a sacrifice? Jesus, I will not let that sacrifice go in vain. I will not give up my opportunity. I will not live my own life when you laid down yours for me. I will pick up your life and your desires and your plans and your the things you have for me. I will live that out. I will walk that out because that's what the cross teaches me. It's not about commitments. I mean, it's about commitment. It's not about comfort. You get that? What else has the cross taught me? Number three, actions are stronger than intentions. Actions are stronger than intentions. Jesus chose to love us unto death. Jesus didn't tell us how much he loved us. He didn't just tell us how he was going to save us. He literally poured out his blood in love. He literally showed us what love is like. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." His atonement, it was about propitiation. It was about the payment. It was about making good the problem that existed. Jesus became the answer. He became the solution. And literally, it was the fact that he didn't just say it, he did it. This Easter, could we take inventory of our lives and say, God, I don't want to just be a talker about how good you are. I want to be a walker about how good you are. I don't want to just believe in your goodness. I don't want to just speak of your goodness. I want it to overflow. I don't want my intentions to get the best of me. I want my actions to be what I'm known for. Man, some of my prayers, they scare me. Some of my prayers, they scare me because I remember thinking, God, I don't want you to remember me based on my intentions. I want you to remember me based on my actions. And then I'm like, oops, except for that one. Oops. Why? Because we're real and we're not perfect. But to have the heart to say, God, let me give you action. Let me give you substance. Let me give you something in the form of somebody. Let me not just hold this thing to myself. Man, I have gone through so many of these invitation cards, not because I'm trying to fill the house, but because I'm trying to fill a soul. I'm trying to fill a life with a gospel message of how good Jesus is. I'm trying to change a space in their heart because it's been changed in mine. Taste and see that God is good. I can only tell you what he's done in my life, but ooh, let me tell you. Number three, actions are stronger than intentions. And number four, betrayal does not negate love. How many are thankful that the betrayal that we've done, that the sin that we've created doesn't negate Jesus' love for us? Betrayal does not negate love. I'll tell you, you should go home and just think about this point. Let this be the last thing you think about before you go to bed. Man, God, Jesus had made up his mind we were worth dying for, even in our mess. He decided before he ever did it. He looked at the kind of people we were and he understood our failings. He understood our shortcomings. He understood our sin. He understood that woman at the well. That's not your husband, and the five before wasn't your husband either. Listen to me. You should still go and sin no more, but I'm going to love you in your mess. I talk to people and they go, oh, I don't have a life where I could go to church. I'm like, you have the exact life that needs to go to church because none of us are perfect. He loves us in our mess. He came for us when we were sinners. He chose to die for us. Not when, man, I can tell you some people, they say, I just got to get my life together, Chad. I believe God's word and I believe the things that I've heard and I know it's right. I just need some time. And I'm like, dude, time is not something we're guaranteed. Time is not the thing you're promised. What I promise you is that there's a God that loves you now, that will accept you as you are, and he loves you so much he won't let you stay that way. Amen? How many are thankful God has been working our lives on the potter's wheel? He's been fixing some things. He's been digging some things. How many know he's dipping his hands in the Holy Spirit so it doesn't hurt as much? But betrayal does not negate love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. What's so good about Good Friday? There could be no good in Good Friday if it wasn't Jesus dying for someone who is not good. It was because he was good, and what he chose to do, only he could do. Because there's nothing good outside of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only Jesus could make this Good Friday. Only Jesus could actually give us that opportunity. Jesus chose to love when we didn't deserve it. We should do the same. We need to always choose love. Right? See, we see Peter betray Jesus. He denies Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows. Yet Jesus still dies for him. And what happens when Jesus returns and tell Peter? What's he saying? I did it even knowing he was going to fall, even knowing he was going to fail. But I want him to know I still died for him in his sin. I still died for him in his denial. I still died for him in the midst of betrayal. I still died for him regardless of where he was, because I see him where he should be and where he can be because of what I did for him. Amen. 1 Peter 4:8, as the team comes back, 1 Peter 4:8 says this, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. What's amazing about what Jesus did, please don't get distracted, focus on me. What's amazing about what Jesus did is he trumped everything in our life. He trumped everything in our world. The original meaning of Trump before what's going on now. He literally made this covering for everything that was going on. Okay? And he said, here, love covers it all. Love covers it all. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.